Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Revelation chapter 17, and I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. Revelation chapter 17 is our passage. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time. Some just got married. Some have children, some don't have children. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Let's say it together. Jesus is wonderful. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition or destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." We are in what the Bible calls the tribulation period. This period in the future is a period that is talked about most of the book of Revelation. From about chapter 4 on, you're dealing with the period known as the tribulation. It's also prophesied in Daniel in the 9th chapter and some other places. It's a period of time in the future in which God's wrath comes down upon the earth and upon unbelievers, and where justice will rule. In some sense, justice does rule now. The Lord is sovereign over all of history, but we are in a period of time that is the church age, and it's what some have called the age of grace. And so Satan is loose, and Satan is able to deceive. Satan is able to create false religion, and he is able to incite spiritual harlotry. And this is really what our passage is about. Now, we've come basically to a part in Scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, 17, and 18 is a little interlude that describes the whole period of the tribulation. Sometimes we get in trouble when we study Revelation. We think everything is chronological, perfectly chronological. So everything that happened in chapter 13 has to be before what happened in chapter 17. But in these three chapters, 16, 17, and 18, you have a description of the general feel and the general actions and activity of the tribulation period. And so today we are going to talk about the destruction of the great harlot. Who is the harlot? Well, the harlot, first of all, we see number one, we have the harlot's description, and you have a listing guide there. And the first 15 chapters give us a great description. Now, I want you to say this after me, okay? Repeat this after me. Avoid false religion. Know the word. I want you to say that whole thing after me. Let me say it, then I want you to say it. Avoid false religion. Know the word. Now, I'm going to propose to you that the practical lesson of today's message is that we are to avoid false religion. And how do we do that? How do we avoid false religion? We avoid false religion when we know the Word. We have to know the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the reasons that we magnify the Word of God in the work of the church here at North Central. In our life groups, we study the Bible. And our young people study the Bible. Our children study the Bible. Even in the preschool, we are laying the foundations, the precepts that children will need to understand that God loves them, that God has a plan for them. And so in all the facets of our life as a church family, the Bible is preeminent. The Bible is very, very important as we study it. And the reason we do that is we want to avoid false religion. The great harlot, Babylon here described, the destruction of this great harlot. This harlot is the mother of all false religion. And at this period during the tribulation, all religions are going to come together. Now, have you ever listened to the news or read in the paper or some magazine where religions are getting together? In other words, it's the idea that, well, we really all serve the same God. And, you may name your God Jesus. You may name your God, Muhammad. You may have Buddha. There may be in the Hindu faith some other gods. They have hundreds and hundreds of gods. But really, we're all serving the same God. You ever heard that before? Well, let me just tell you, that is what's going to happen. That is what this great harlot does at the very end of all time before Jesus comes back. And in this chapter, we see the destruction of that. So let's real quickly, I want us to look at these verses and deal with number one, the harlot's description, all right? But there was something I wanted to do before I do that. Let me say this. How do we know the word? We're to avoid false religion. We are to know the word. We are to avoid false religion. We are to know the word, all right? Well, let me just say this to you. We hear and we read the word. Now, I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 1. I just want you to see this. There is a blessing for those who read and hear the words of this prophecy. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. We are to listen to the word. Today you are listening to the word of God. I'm hoping, one pastor described preaching as this, I am delivering the word of God, but you're really just getting a whiff of it. In other words, I'm hoping what I say is going to be like, oh, Kelly was cooking this morning, by the way. And when I was moving around, I started smelling stuff. She put something on today that we may eat later on, see? And so, man, it smelled good. I got a whiff of it. And so now what am I wanting to do? I'm wanting to eat it. Well, I'm hoping, and some have described preaching as hearing the word of God. It's very important, don't get me wrong, but it really just gives you a whiff of the word of God. And so you need to get into the word of God for yourself. So we are to read, and we are to hear the word of God. That makes you a healthy Christian. Then we are to study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study the word of God, all right? That's the second way that we know the word. The first way is we hear it and read it. The second way is we study it, and that makes you an intelligent Christian. But then we're to memorize the word of God. That makes you a skillful Christian. The scripture says, thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against God. So we are to hear and read the word. We are to study the word. We are to memorize the word. But then the fourth thing, we are to meditate on the word. The scripture says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Then it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now that does not mean, I'm meditating. No, what that means is you are constantly thinking about the word of God. You're chewing the cud of the word of God all through your day, and in your quiet time in the morning, you're thinking about and spending time letting the word of God come to your mind over and over again. So you are meditating on the word of God. That makes you a fruitful Christian. And then not only do you hear and read it, not only do you study it, number two, number three, not only do you memorize it, number four, not only do you meditate on it, but then the last thing is you apply the word of God. In John 14:21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We are to not only hear it and read it and meditate on it and memorize it and study it, but we are to apply the word of God. So we are to avoid false religion. How are we going to avoid false religion? Know the word. Say that after me. Know the word. Okay. We got to get our antipodal or whatever they call that reaction to one another. But anyway, well, you get the point. So by getting into God's word, we can understand what truth is. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's a world of false religion out there. Why? Because people have created their own gods. They're not God. They're not religions based upon truth. They're religions that are based upon the flesh, upon ourselves and our own whims and our own desires. And because of that, we go our own way. And this harlot, Babylon, it says there in our passage in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of harlots. In other words, the mother of all this apostate religion, false religion, and particularly the one that will come at the end. Now, you know, one of the challenges that I have in preaching through Revelation is we're talking about the future. And it's awesome to know what's in the future, and I want to know what's in the future, and I want to convey what's in the future. But I also, as your pastor and as a believer living right now in the nasty now and now, I want to know the principles that will help me live right now as a result of what I know is happening in the future. And let me just say this. To me, the application here is that we are to avoid all false religion. We better know the truth, and how are we going to do that? We're going to know the Word, and because the bottom line is, all this false religion is going to be burned up. It's going to be gone, and that's what our study is about. So as the harlot is described in verses 1 through 15, what do we learn? Well, harlotry, the word harlot is used in verse 1. It's a sign of spiritual idolatry in Scripture. It's used all over the Scripture for a sign of spiritual idolatry. What is an idol? Anything we place above the Lord God. Anything that is more important. Anything we embrace instead of embracing the Lord God. All false religion will be united in this false idolatry at the end of the age. And the closer we get to the tribulation. Now, let me just back up and say this. We believe that we will not be in this tribulation period. Now, there are some that believe that we will be. Some have us coming out of the tribulation in the middle of it. Some of us have us coming out at the beginning of it. That's the position that I have. Some have us going through the whole thing. You're not an apostate Christian if you believe that. You still can trust in Jesus and know Him. It's just, if you want to be wrong, you can be wrong. That's okay, okay? And not agree with my side of it. But anyway, the point is, The point is that in chapter 4, listen to me, in Revelation chapter 4, you find no mention of the church, and when you find mention of the church, it's always in heaven. So in Revelation 1 through 3, the church is talked about all in the book of Revelation. But from Revelation 4 and following, there's no mention of the church. There are other places that would give you this description as well. But the bottom line is, this is what's going to happen during this tribulation period. So here we are in the church age. The more we see a unification of religion, the closer we're getting to the end. I tell you, sometimes you can go to civic functions that maybe our city will have, and you know, I have had the privilege of praying for city council meetings and things before. I'll never forget that at one point I was asked to pray for some meeting, and they said, "Now we want you to do an ecumenical prayer." I said, I don't know how to do an ecumenical prayer. The only prayer that is real is prayer to Jesus Christ and God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so if you want me to pray, that's what I'm going to have to pray. But sometimes you'll go and someone will pray, and man, they'll pray all over the place. They thank the Lord for Allah. Then they thank the Lord for Jesus. And then they thank, but listen, and the more you see that, the more you see that in our world, the closer we're getting to the end times, because the great harlot, that's what she's going to do. She's going to bring all the world religions together, okay? So it's going to be united in this false idolatry. It abandons the truth of God's word. Now, in verse 1, it says, sits on many waters. I want you to see that in verse 1. It says, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Well, what does that mean? Well, look at verse 15. Look over at verse 15. It says this, Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And so she is going to deceive. One of the qualities of this great harlot is she is going to deceive the whole world. And you see that in Scripture. The second thing is her origin comes out of Babel, because her name is Babylon the Great. It says mystery, Babylon the Great. Now, this is not necessarily tied to a city. But in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, you find the story. We don't have time to read the whole story, but you want to write that down and go back and read that. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1, you find the story of the Tower of Babel. And what did the people want to do? They had come through the flood, and they were all together, and they said, "Let's make our name great. Let's build a tower that will go up to the heavens. And then the scripture says in Genesis 11, they said, let's make our name great. And what did the Lord do? The Lord created confusion, and it made them go off. They had different languages. They couldn't communicate to one another. And as a result, out of that desire for them to make one great, that is really the mother of all false religion, of people building their own way. That's basically what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. You either follow the Lord Jesus Christ or you follow your own way. And in some people's own way, they have created religions and apostate beliefs that do not line up with Scripture. So how are we to avoid false religion, to avoid apostate religion? We are to know the Word. So this harlot is akin to the original Babel of Genesis chapter 11. And it says it's a mystery. That gives you the idea that this is not necessarily in the name, but it is deep. There's a philosophy there. This is where it all began. It's a system of idolatry. In Nahum chapter 3, Nineveh, the city, was called a harlot. In Isaiah 121, actually calls Jerusalem a harlot city. And it says in verse 2, look at that, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. It talks about fornication, a sexual sin. It relates it in a way just like it would be wrong to go outside the boundaries morally in your sexuality. In the same way, it's wrong to go outside the boundaries of God in the way that you worship. And that's what the great harlot does. She causes people to worship in a way that is outside the boundaries of God's Word. And so we are to avoid false teaching and false religion by knowing the Word of God. So what does it mean to live in an apostate way? Well, it's just living life apart from God, living in the flesh. And in the book of Galatians, it describes living in the flesh. Romans 8:8 says that you cannot please God and live according to the flesh. In Galatians 3:3, it says, how have you begun in the spirit and you try to continue in the flesh? In other words, it will not produce righteousness. So apostate religion, false religion, cannot please God. It cannot produce righteousness. And basically, you're in conflict. Your life is a life that is in conflict with God Almighty. And so we see that this harlot is akin to all that happened back in Genesis in the 11th chapter when the people said, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a great tower in our honor. So another quality in verse 3, it says that this harlot is united with the beast. Look at verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Also, we see this in verse 7. Look at verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast. So she's sitting on the beast. Well, who is the beast? The beast is the Antichrist. And so we've already studied the beast, and we know that the beast comes out of the pit, and it's mentioned even in our passage here, that the beast comes out of the pit and does its work. Okay? Well, this harlot of false religion is going to gain power through the beast, and they will be together. They will be united in their efforts to do that. So the third thing in the description is she is united with the beast. The fourth thing is she is very powerful and wealthy. In verse 4 it says she has purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, and has a golden cup. All of these descriptions, there may be specific things that each of them describe, but the big picture of it all is that this harlot is wealthy. And I'm telling you, religion, world religion, will be a wealthy and powerful force on the earth. And so we see that. And then we also see in the fifthly that she hates true believers. If you look at verse 6, it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And so She hates true believers. This is a description of this harlot. The last description is she is supported by the 10 kings that come to fight Jesus. If you look at verses 12 and following, it's going to describe 10 horns. If you look at that, 10 horns. Now, there are a lot of different ways to look at this. There are a lot of people that have different views of this. But the best scholarship on it believes that those 10 horns represent 10 kings. And it says this, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet. These are 10 kings that are yet to come, and they will be united and will come against the Lord Jesus. And we saw this in the last chapter. In the last chapter, in one of the bold judgments, the Lord dried up the Euphrates River, which is in the valley of Armageddon, and all those kings are going to, and all those nations are going to gather in that valley. Well, the harlot and an apostate religion is all in cahoots and in consort with these kings as well. And we see that in verses 12. Look at verse 13. It says, these are of one mind, talking about these nations. And by the way, on a side note, verse 17 is about false religion. Verse 18 is about political and economic unity that will happen during this tribulation period. Because all of it is intertwined. We have a bird's eye view in chapter 17 we're studying today of the religious matter of it, the false religion that's attached to it. But you think about it. The false religion has its power in the Antichrist, in the beast, which the false religion, the great harlot, is riding. Then she is in consort with 10 great kings, those that will be in unity as we have one economic and political faction. And it says in verse 13, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb. That's who they are. They're coming to make war with the Lamb, and of the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Praise God. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's us. That's the people of God who trust in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord will ultimately defeat the harlot and defeat the beast. And that's the important part of the end of the story. So we see, first of all, the harlot's description. Number two, let's look at the harlot's destruction. Because at the very end of this passage, in about three verses of Scripture, we conclude, really, the study of this chapter. Because in verse 16, we see the harlot's destruction. In verse 16, this is Revelation 17, 16. And the 10 horns which you saw, by the way, some of the very best manuscripts don't say on the beast, they say and the beast, okay? So as mine reads, it says, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, or and the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You say, I thought you just said she was riding the beast. I did. Now, all of a sudden, it says the beast is going to hate the harlot. What you have described in verse 16 is everyone turning against this harlot. And I'll tell you what happens. And there's some folks that would maybe have a little twist on this interpretation. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it describes the Antichrist. He makes a covenant with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation period, and everybody's happy because peace comes. And then the judgments begin to come, the seals are open, and they begin to come. And at the 3.5-year period of the tribulation, right in the middle of the tribulation, something happens that is cataclysmic. It's called the abomination of desolation. And here's what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to make this agreement with Israel and going to say, you can worship your God, rebuild the temple. And people are going to worship in the temple as they have done. as they used to do for many, many years. Well, then at the 3.5-year period, he is going to remove worship from the temple. He is going to put his own image in the temple, and he is going to want to be worshiped. And at this point, many believe, instead of all the cooperation of the beast and the 10 kings and the great harlot who we're studying today and all them being in consort together, the beast absolutely cannot stand for anyone to not totally worship him. And at this 3.5-year period, he is going to demand that everyone worship him. You remember we studied several chapters ago, he is going to demand that if you want to buy and sell, you have to have a mark on your wrist or your forehead. If you remember that, shake your head. Okay, thank you. That kind of looks neat, all y'all shaking your head. Anyway, so you remember we studied that. Well, that comes when the beast says, wait a minute, I want to be worshipped. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you worship Jesus Christ, I mean you literally from your heart, not out of religion, but you truthfully of your own will, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, you better watch out. You're a marked person. Satan wants to be worshiped. Satan wants to be worshiped. And this Antichrist, he'll say, peace, peace. And he'll bring everyone together. He'll bring the kings of the earth together. He'll bring the religions of the world together in this great harlot. But at some point, he's going to turn on all of them. He's going to say, I have the power. Now, why did they give him the power? You remember we studied that there was a death and a resurrection. You remember that? There was a death and a supposed resurrection. And the people will see signs. You say, well, why did the kings come to Armageddon? We studied that last week. Out of the mouth of, remember it said those frogs would come out, and those represented demons, and they did signs, and they tricked they deceived the kings, and they all came there to go against Jesus Christ. And our scripture says that they did. It even says it in this passage here. And so we see the harlot's destruction is going to come from the beast. He's going to turn on the beast. And what does the scripture say there? It says, these will hate the harlot. They will make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now go back to Revelation 14, verse 8. I want you to see this. Revelation 14, verse 8. This talks about it as well. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And it's talking about this harlot, and it's predicting her destruction as well. Back in chapter 14, verse 8. Well, in chapter 17, verse 16, we see the harlot's destruction. Now, so the beast is going to turn on her. But then number three, and we finish with this, the harlot's destiny. Because she will fulfill the purposes of God. In verse 17, look at this. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been an amazing time for me studying the book of Revelation. I have read Revelation. I have been associated with the Lord's work for many, many years. But I have... quite honestly, I used to kid people when I first came here. I'd say, now tell me when Dr. N.B. Langford, you know, one of our former pastors years ago, great man. I said, tell me when he preached on Revelation. They said, well, I think it was in his 10th year. I said, well, I'm going to have to be here 10 years before I preach through Revelation. I basically have never preached through Revelation until now with you. It has been an amazing journey. You know, the interesting thing that I'm learning, there's a couple things that's amazing about this book. One is God's mercy on people. God has held back his... Now, this book is a book about judgment. God is going to judge all sin. You mark it down. He's going to do it. But I'm telling you, the mercy of the Lord. He sends... He has done it all of history. He has sent those to tell wayward men to give their lives to him. And so I've learned that. The other thing I've learned is that God is sovereignly in control of everything. And it says it right here in verse 17. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the great harlot, all of these things that happen during this end times tribulation period is all a part of God's ultimate plan and his ultimate purpose. Now let me tell you what we've got to do. We've got to avoid false religion. We've got to know the Word. Because the closer we get to the end times, the more we're going to see, and you already see it. You already see people whom do not contend for truth. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We are not to be arrogant and ugly to people. Because if there's anything that's true, it's that the gospel is a decision that everyone has to make. We don't force anyone to receive the gospel. Amen? It's a choice that you made. I made that choice with God's help. I made that choice as a teenage boy in a youth camp. I heard the gospel and the Lord broke me and I gave my heart to the Lord because I wanted Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. I don't know your testimony. I know that it had to have happened similarly in a sense that you had an opportunity to give your life to Christ and you made your decision, so we don't force it. But the truth is, truth by definition is exclusive. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if I say to you, is Robert Prevett sitting on the front row of this church or is he sitting on the stage? The answer is not yes. And there is an answer. Truth by definition is exclusive. If you say he's sitting on that stage, you are, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, wrong. If you say he's sitting on that front row, you are right. You have the truth. So here's what happens in society. We forget how to define truth. I'll give you an example. You have people that want to say that a baby in a womb is not a person. They even it to the very end. This is mind-boggling to me. They are people that are voting to make laws that say that you can take the life of a child right before they're born. So if you believe it that way and you believe it that way, what's right? How do you know what's right? Avoid false religion. God's word says that life begins at conception. So someone may believe what they want to believe, but I have to say, look, this truth is outside of me. It's not what I think. But what does God think? And so, therefore, you contend for the faith. Now, how do we know the Word? We know the Word by hearing and reading it, by studying it, by memorizing it, by meditating on it, and by applying it. When we do that, we become a healthy Christian by hearing and reading it. We become an intelligent Christian by studying the Bible. We become a skillful Christian by memorizing the Word of God. We become a fruitful Christian by meditating on the Word of God. And we become an obedient Christian by applying the Word of God. He that hath my commandments and keeps them. James 1:22 says, do the Word. We're to do the Word. Stand up right here with me, brother. Put your fingers up like this. So here you go. You've got hear and read. Now, y'all help me. Anybody write this down? I didn't bring my notes with me. I got to get them all right. Hear and read, okay? Study, memorize, meditate, and apply. So listen, folks, this is important. I'm telling you that we should be fearful in a good way fearful that we don't follow false teaching. Because it's going to get harder and harder to know whether something's true or not as this society begins to meld everything together. So we hear and read. You heard the word of God today, but it was just, I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to give you a taste of it. So that you'll want to do it on your own and get into God's word on your own. So thank you, your hand right here. Okay. Hear and read. Study. Memorize, meditate, and apply. Now, I want you to use just two fingers. Hold on to that. Hold it. You got it? Folks, if you just do part of this, you're not getting it. Now listen, I like to think that I can communicate the Bible, that God gave me some ability to do that. Boy, while I was thinking, I heard the story about this pastor that he really thought he preached a good one. And he went home and he's just sitting there reveling in that he had preached a good message. And he said to his wife, he said, "I just wonder how many great preachers there are in this world." She said, "One less than you're thinking right now." I hope that I don't bore you in here. I hope that you leave here with something. But can I tell you something? If all you're getting is hearing me, you're not getting enough. Give me two fingers and the thumb. Okay, he's got a little bit better grip. He's pretty strong. I think it says fingers on the thing. Now listen, hold it with three in your thumb, but help me with my illustration. Okay, so he's doing that. Okay, so now I can still get it. All right, now hold the whole thing. Now see, let me tell you, we can fight over it, but I guarantee he's got a better grip on it. He's got a better grip on it. I got it. No. Now see, I messed up my own illustration. But my point is, folks, you've got to hear the word of God. That's why you need to be in church. You need to take advantage. You know, I marvel at people with all kinds of problems and they don't take advantage of the things the church offers. They don't take advantage of the things in God's I'll be done soon. I read this quote from Dr. David Jeremiah, and I shared this with our Wednesday night Bible study. And I want you to think about this. What is it that you have discovered that has made it possible for you to arrive at such a place that you can avoid the opportunities God has provided for you to grow and mature? How is it that you have come to a place? Man, I tell you what, folks, we need to be gobbling up every opportunity we have to grow spiritually. This is serious. And there's a great harlot that is wanting to unite and not give any distinction to truth. Truth, by definition, is exclusive. So we are to hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. We are to avoid false religion, and the way we do that is we know the Word. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.